Chapter 14. One very hot morning in July, we were down on North Beach where Timothy had found a patch of calico scallops not too far offshore. It was the hottest day we'd ever had on the quay, so hot that each breath felt like fire, and for once the trade wind was not blowing. Nothing on the quay seemed to be moving. North Beach was a very strange beach anyway. The sand on it felt coarser to my feet. Everything about it felt different. But that didn't really make sense, since it was only about a mile from South Beach. Timothy explained, "De North is allus de bleak beach on any island," but he couldn't say why. He had just brought some calico scallops ashore when we heard the rifle shot. He came quickly to my side, saying, "Dat be trouble." Trouble? I thought it meant someone had found the quay. That wasn't trouble. Excited, I asked, "Who's shooting?" "De sea," he said. I laughed at him. "The sea can't shoot a rifle." "A crack like de rifle," he said, worry in his voice. "It can make de shot all right, all right. It be tell us a very bad storm is coming, Philippe. A tempest." I couldn't quite believe that. However, there had been distinctly a crack like a rifle or pistol shot. He said anxiously, "De waves do it. Somewhere far off, out beyond the Grenadines or in that pesky bight off Honduras, a hurricane is spawning young bass. I feel it. What we heard was a wave passing this little Homburg point." I heard him sniffing the air as if he could smell the hurricane coming. Without the wind, there was a breathless silence around our quay. The sea, he told me, was smooth as green jelly. But already the water was getting cloudy. There were no birds in sight. The sky, he said, had a yellowish cast to it. "Come along, we have much to do. De calico scallop can wait de own self till after de tempest." We went up to our hill. Now I knew why he had chosen the highest point of land on the quay for our hut. Even so, I thought, the waves might tumble over it. The first thing Timothy did was to lash our water keg high on a palm trunk. Next he took the remaining rope that we had and tied it securely around the same sturdy tree. "In case the tempest reach this high, lock your arms over the rope and hang on, Philippe." I realized then why he had used our rope sparingly, why he had made my guideline down to East Beach from vines instead of rope. Every day I learned of something new that Timothy had done so we could survive. During the afternoon he told me this was a freak storm, because most did not come until September or October, August sometimes, seldom in July. "But this year de sea be angry with all de death upon it. De war." The storms bred, Timothy said, in the eastern North Atlantic, south of the Cape Verde Islands, in the fall, but sometimes when they were freaks, and early, they bred much closer in a triangle way off the northeast tip of South America. Once in a great while, in June or July, they sometimes made up not far from Providencia and San Andres. Near us. The June ones were only pesky, but the July ones were dangerous. "Dis be a western storm, I be guessing. Dey outrageous strong when dey come," he said. Even Stewcat was nervous. He was around my legs whenever I moved. I asked Timothy what we should do to protect him. He laughed. "Stewcat be go up de palm on de lee side if it be getting too terrible. Don't worry about Stewcat." Yet I could not help worrying. The thought of losing either of them was unbearable. If something bad happened on the quay, I wanted it to happen to all of us. Nothing changed during the afternoon, although it seemed to get even hotter. Timothy spent a lot of time down at the raft, stripping off everything usable and carrying it back up the hill. He said we might never see it again, or else it might wash up the hill so that it would be impossible to launch. Timothy was not purposely trying to frighten me about the violence of the storm. He was just being honest. He had good reason to be frightened himself. "In 28 I be on de Hetty Red, so to Antigua when de tempest hit. De wind was outrageous and de old schooner break up like chips falling for de axe. I wash ashore from de sea so while no man believe it. No other man from de Hetty Red live cept in me." I knew that wild sea from long ago was much on Timothy's mind all afternoon. We had a huge meal late in the day. much bigger than usual because Timothy said we might not be able to eat for several days. We had fish and coconut meat, and we each drank several cups of coconut milk. Timothy said that the fish might not return to the reef for at least a week. He'd noticed that they'd already gone to deep water. After we ate, Timothy carefully cleaned his knife and put it into the tin box, which he lashed high on the same tree that held our water keg. "We ready, Philippe," he said.